The Holy Spirit has a way of making it simple. Go and present this argument to your boss. If he says all correct, then it's fine. He said, no, how can I tell you? What if he sacks me? So it's iniquity. Now, the point I'm making is that once you do that once, it is not the economy. Are you getting my point? It's not the economy. It's not the country. It is that you need a Sabbath rest to go and feed yourself again so as to strengthen you against the challenges that life will present. Are you getting my point? I will never marry a non-believer. I will never marry a non-believer. And then one day, your auntie don't talk, your uncle don't talk, everybody don't talk. You can't go home for Christmas. And there's this guy. You know he's not a believer. But he comes home, you know, Christmas time. Maybe he lives in Belgium, US, you know, somewhere. Normally, you wouldn't even touch him with a long stick. But last Christmas, he visited and you actually gave him a bottle of Coke. Listen, is there anything wrong with Coke? You have to be nice to your visitor. Is that not so? But you know you. For you, it's backsliding. Normally, if an unbeliever, because it's your parents that brought him, they arranged with your cousins, there is a family arrangement for a husband. Is that not so? You are aware. Let's not deceive ourselves. And then you agree to entertain and gist with the guy for 30 minutes. You know it's backsliding. If you come and start saying, now I'm not saying, for me, it's not backsliding. You understand my point? For banking, it's not backsliding. What's the big deal? You understand? Nobody's arranging anything for me. So we're not discussing that act itself. We are saying for you, you know what it is. Now, why am I saying this? God allows those little things to bring up something in our hearts. So again, there is a weakness of the spirit we are dealing with here. What is the problem? The job you have, you work morning to night, Monday to Sunday evening. Are you getting my point? And you have done like that for the last few years. You are weaker than you realize. This is my first way of letting you know. If you don't do anything, you continue that job, and you don't do anything, you marry this guy. You're not a wicked man, you're a woman, you are not. You need, listen, when your father, your uncles, your mother, everybody's bearing down on you, you need strength to withstand them. When you are not taking your sabbatical feeding of the word of God, you will lose strength. Please, I hope you're getting what I'm going to explain. Listen, the mistake people make, they start making excuses. It's not my fault. It is just, no, we're not discussing that. The issue is this. Pressure is always there in life. The man that bends, it is because he's weak. Are you getting my point? So let's not discuss the pressure. Let's discuss the fact that I could not withstand in the day of adversity. That being a sign that my strength is small. Remember what I said? Okay, on Tuesday, one of those Tuesdays some time ago, we discussed it. We're talking about the confession of sin. That God is not saying feel bad. What he said is what? Confess. Acknowledge. So what we're saying is simple. Just say, no, this is what the problem is. And what is the solution, which is what we're discussing now? This issue of periodic feeding. Don't ever, listen, no matter how much anybody is paying you, let me say something about your destiny. It's very expensive. What did I say? Very expensive. Satan, if he has an idea what your destiny is like, he will offer you anything. Think about it. When it came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and listen, let me tell you something. Anytime you are tempted with something like money, and it's a temptation, be glad for that temptation. Maybe someone like me now, somebody now says, for example, that Pastor Bank, I don't want you to be preaching the way, this kind of preaching you are preaching is too hot. Slow it down a bit. That way we'll be able to arrange meetings for you. Each time you go, we'll pay you like 5 million naira. You know, tell somebody that's a good temptation. You know why? It has taught me that each message I preach is worth more than 5 million. Forget, I'm not collecting the money. Are you getting my point? But the devil wouldn't offer it to you if he was not going to gain much more than that. Use that to value your life. If you are setting up a company, somebody says, let's just do this rules here. Look, you make 100 million. Look, over the next 7 months, it's 100 million for you. You refuse to do it, you don't get it. Be glad that at least I've seen that even Satan knows I'm worth much more than 100 million in 7 months. So you start rejoicing that within a short while, God is going to bless your business so much, you'll be making 200 million every 6 months. It's a sign. It is a sign. What did I call it? It's a sign. Listen, that's what temptations are. So anytime you are tempted, rejoice. Just rejoice. Ah, at least now I understand that. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. I was talking about the importance of this sabbatical feeding. Whatever somebody offers you, that's what I'm talking about, so as to prevent you from having that opportunity, know that if you made up your mind not to follow them, you will get far beyond that which they are offering. That's what I'm saying. Never let somebody offer you so much money so as to ensure that you can't feed on the word of God periodically. What he's doing, he doesn't know. Don't, please, let me say something to you. Most people who work for Satan don't know. I'm digressing again, but I need to say that to you. Most people who work for Satan, what did I say? They don't know. Get behind me, Satan. Who said it? To whom? On what occasion? When they was talking about being crucified, it was a passionate moment in the ministry amongst friends. Sir, you can't die like that. And they said, get behind me, Satan. Peter would not have suspected in 1,000 years that he was speaking for Satan. That just by the way, let me sit on it. The point I'm making is that, so if I always like to tell people this. You go to a place like Lagos, people make me laugh. And they say, hey, it's because it's society. It's not true. I've lived there also before. It's because you allowed some things. I mean, how can people, anyway, I don't want, oh God, I'm trying my best not to digress. Societies will make people work morning till night, father and mother hand their children, their 1 month old babies to strangers to raise, and they say they are working for money. Why don't you? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let me leave it there. Really, I don't want to. Because people sometimes they say that you don't understand. I understand. I understand the fact that you want to belong. I understand the fact that money has hold upon you. I understand the fact that you don't realize that everything good in life will need you to make serious sacrifices. I remember once, I told you, I think I've given the story many times. You've heard my story all the time. When was I residency? We're earning 6,000 naira a month. But maybe another part of the story you should remember is that before I started residency, I said I was working in a clinic. All right? I was working nights. They were paying us 6,000 naira. And that's how the pay was poor. But then, after a while, my MD agreed and raised our pay to 9,000 in a month. By the time I started residency, because I was working in pathology, so I didn't used to work at night in the hospital. So I used to go home. All I needed to do was stay at home weekends and stay in the clinic at night and 2 weekends a month. Now, when I say 2 weekends, I mean I normally will work night, which is Friday, you understand? Then weekend starts Saturday morning, and I'll stay there morning, afternoon, night, that's Sunday night now, wake up Monday morning, and then go back to my own normal work. Before, that was the only job I was doing. So during the day, I was free. But now, I now started my residency training. I did that for a few months. One day, I sat down. You know, the Bible says, who is it that wants to build a tower that will not first sit down? Uh-huh. I sat down. Or like a prodigal son, I came to myself. One day, I came to myself and I said simply, if I continue like this, I'm going to die early. No, I said it straight. As I look at you, man of God, I was talking to myself. Because I worked every evening, that meant I did not go for midweek services. Think about it. I closed at work in Diaraba. I had to get myself down to Ikeja. I didn't go for midweek services in any church. How many weekends a month that year I was doing? 2. Which meant I was only free to go to church how many days a month? So I said, Pastor, look at you. I was talking to myself. So I got up and said, I'm not doing it again. That was 6 months after. That was the clinic I was working before my residency started. So 6 months into it, I said, I'm not doing it again. I gave them a 1 month notice so that end of the 7th month, I'll leave them. And this is the gist. How much was I managing? No, 6 plus 9. Making how much? 15. 6 plus 9, 15. I got that for a few months. I said, Nalai, this is selling your soul. I said, I don't want again. I resigned where I was getting the good chunk of the money I had. And everybody I talked to thought something was wrong with me. The country was hard. One of my friends said, this guy was about my closest friend, at least around. I said, people are saying that I don't know what I'm doing, as if my head is not correct. I said, they don't understand. You know what he said? I agree with them. My bosom friend, I think so too. That's what he said. Those were his words. I think so too. I didn't have to explain it. When I told my mother, even she was discouraged. She was disappointed. You can understand. And I remember that I told myself that this moment that I'm going to lose, all of us will share it. I don't know what I get my point. Because I know what I used to do with my money. I used to share it around. I said, those who are getting some of it, they will start getting. All of us will suffer this thing. That was my conclusion. But listen, it wasn't easy. I remember the first evening that I didn't have to rush off somewhere. I took a very good breath. I said, good. There was a church I was attending. I won't mention names. So let me now enter that church and become a church worker. And the Holy Spirit said, if you don't get out of here now, I fry you myself. I won't go into details about that, but I'm not joking about it. The Holy Spirit said, you're not doing anything like that. But then I continued what I knew to do. I continued studying the Word of God. My evenings were now free. The point I'm making is this. From earning extra 9,000 in a month, I settled down only 6,000 naira a month. Now, I was earning 6,000 before in that hospital. Then they increased to 9. I started my residency. This one added another 6 to it. It went up to 15. I dropped it back to 6,000 so that I might live long. What will I do with the money? Nobody to chop. God was good. I was eating enough. I said, you can't go. I'm not good anywhere. I ain't traveling. I'm not visiting anybody. I'm not living. Paying transportation was expensive. So what I did was to stay at home. I used to tell people that if you come to my... if you come to look for me, and you are sure I didn't travel out of Lagos, I was either in church, no, I was either in my apartment, or I was in my office, my department, which was in the premises I lived in Luth, in the hospital, the teaching hospital in Diaraba, or I went to church. I said, don't worry, these are the only places I go. Home, work, church. I said, once you look for me in those three places, you don't find me. Maybe I traveled. Maybe I went for a conference in Benin, or I went to go and see my parents or something like that. You have to make decisions sometimes that will cost you so you can get your sabbatical feeding with the Word of God. One day I went to your school to teach. Steve, one girl came afterwards to ask me for counsel. By the time she finished telling me everything that, okay, she's leaving school, that there's this thing she knows how to do. One thing I just told her, she wanted to know what kind of career should she pursue. From what she told me, I said, this is something you really know how to do and you're anointed to do. She does artwork. I said, whatever you do in life, please don't take a job that will not allow you to do this. You see, the problem with people is money. People weigh money heavier than the things that are important in life. You know, the other day I was talking to one of my colleagues. He said, I was watching a program. I've not seen it. I'll try and catch the program. It's on TV, on Al Jazeera. He said they were analyzing, you know, life. And they said that there are things that people never say when they're on their deathbed. But there are things they say. That nobody ever says, what a pity. I never bought that big screen television. They never say, what a pity. I was never able to drive that kind of car. They never say those things. He said, what they always say are things like, I wish I had made more time for my children. I wish I had reconciled with this person. That is, on people's deathbed, they studied it and found out that there are things that are important in life. Please, I hope you have heard what I'm saying. I'm not an issue here. That people, before they are approaching death, they make judgment based on money. And listen to me, is the least important of these things. You take a job, you work all the time, you'd never have time to settle down and re-energize your spirit with the food of the Word of God. Please, I'm begging you, find another one. The pay will drop. No, come on, your pay will drop. That is why it is a temptation. But listen, if your strength, the strength for your spiritual work is important to you, you have to do it. You just have to. Remember, I'm talking about the different seasons in which we must feed our spirits. He said, eat, for the journey is long. Having plenty of money does not make you strong in life. But being empty of the word of God will remove any strength that you could ever have. So you must make your choices. You know, in Israel, listen to me, the commandment was so strong that when they found a man walking on the Sabbath day, they killed him. Sabbath, you are walking. Listen, this is the application concerning this feeding thing. Any Christian that does not periodically take time aside to just feed with the word of God is killing himself, she's killing herself. Please, I hope you understand what I'm saying. The strength, there's something I'm going to say. Let me say this about this feeding thing. I'll quickly get into it, then I close. The third time, all right? And I said three seasons. One, at the initial, before the journey starts. One, every season, Sabbath. You must have, like, the way I practice it personally, ministry, December, I don't teach. I don't go around preaching and teaching. I just relax. I cross my leg. I watch TV. I read a book. I sleep plenty. The idea is to refreshing myself because the journey for next year is long. That is the Sabbath that I operate. All right? And I've said it though, I'm not very, very busy yet. Okay? But no, you know, a lot of these musicians, you know them. You know musicians. You know, they make a lot of money. How many of you remember Shino Peters? Yoshino. Yes, even those Nigerians who didn't know what he was saying, they were all dancing it. All right? That's human beings for you. Even when Awilo was singing it, we couldn't understand, we were all dancing. Now, this is the point. That year that he released that song, the following year, I heard he played the number of nights he played. That's the one I have the figures. That's what I'm quoting, though it's long ago. He played 360 days in a year. I know it's in a night show most of the time. 360 days he was doing shows. That's why the people use cocaine. And that's why they don't last long. This point I'm making. Preachers also do it. When you become very famous, everybody's inviting you. Listen, I swore before God long ago that no matter how busy I become, one day every week, I'm not doing anything. One day every week. And since I'm not planning to die in 3.5 years, listen, what I'm about to tell you is very true. A year will come in which I will not preach, apart from just sharing the word period, you know, just here and there. One whole year. I just attend conferences. They say, oh, Pastor Bank is around. Give me the mic. I just bless you for 10 minutes. I sit down, carry my own notes, and be listening. A whole year. A whole year. Listen. A whole year. Israel, go and read their commandments concerning Sabbath. It wasn't a joke. Every seventh year, you left the land fallow. One of the things I wanted to quote for us, because I'm watching my time now. There was a time the Lord said to them, talking about the sabbatical thing. He said, 3 times a year, all of you must gather before the temple. A whole week, each time. That's apart from Sabbath every Saturday. Then 3 weeks of the year, 1 week at a time, you must all leave wherever you are, gather. All the men will gather. You must be there. It was compulsory. I thought about it. Why? God never does anything for his own good. Never. Why did he give them that kind of commandment? It was the reason was because those were the times that they will receive the impartation of the Spirit. Those are the times that the high priest will bring the law and read those blessings in Deuteronomy chapter 28 over them again. Those are the times that they will be re-infused with the Spirit of the victor. Those are the times that God's Spirit will enter them to keep them on top perpetually. They did not do it was why they kept on having problems. But like I said, we're not just doing an academic exercise. We are talking to ourselves. Listen, Christians, we must periodically set everything aside. You know, I say this one all the time. Quench your phone when it is nighttime. Especially if you're a businessman. Let me leave that. I'm watching my time very closely. Now, so that's the second season I'm talking about. Then there's a third one, let me mention it briefly, and I'll now get back to the importance of that word. And then I close with that. The third one is continually. I thought these things, they overlap. What God gives in each season is different. The kind of word, the kind of spirit is different for each season. But we must have all of them. The third one is what? Continually. Continually. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Let me say something. And let's quickly finish quoting that. It says, so that you will be able to, what does it go again? So that you will be careful to observe, to do all that is written therein. That way you will make your way prosperous and you will have what? Good success. What I want to bring out to us again is the importance of it. You know, when we did not realize, we thought we were doing these things to obey the commandments of God. Please tell your neighbor, it's for your own good. It's for your own good. It is important you realize it is for your own good. I remember once, this was those days, you know, after that season I was telling you about, one of those days, I was in my office. I don't know how many of you have been on drugs before. I've never been on drugs, but I'm a doctor, so I know how it's supposed to be like. But there was a day, you know, if a man is on drugs, after a while, if he doesn't take the drugs, he starts having what they call withdrawal symptoms. The drug addict called it Jonesing. So the guy is Jonesing. I was reading a book a few days ago, and one woman was describing, how she got to know about divine healing, you understand? How she started taking her morphine for pain, and then she became an addict. But that's how God, you know, got to her, and she got to know divine healing, and God delivered her. But she was describing what she used to go through when she would, you know, out of self-will, like, I don't want to continue this thing. She refused to take it. But this is the point I'm making. One of those days in Luth, I had not eaten the word of God for a while. I was a man that used to consume this thing all the time. Work has started. So a few days passed. I realized that I couldn't remember when last I sat down and somebody was teaching. I used to listen mostly to tapes. And somebody was feeding me with God's word. I'm not kidding. Then I started shaking. Like, my God, what's going on? I was pacing up and down. So I called my friend. He's a neurosurgeon in Luth now, Dr. Bankole. I said, Femo, come. You know, I quickly went through my stack. I said, no, I don't need this one. I don't need this one. Femo, do you have anything? The guy said, well, he thought at home he had this. Have I listened to this one? I said, no, mention that one again. He said, let's go to your house and go and get it. After work, we rushed to his house. The man brought the thing. I had my cousin's car that day. I brought my cousin's car. He brought the car, didn't have a car stereo. He gave me the tapes. Do you know, I had this little tape recorder that I used to carry around. I put the thing inside the car, put it on my laps, put the thing on loudspeaker, I think, and I was driving with it. After listening to the first tape, I remember my body cooled down. It's like you just took your shot of heroin. My body cooled down. That is, I was addicted. You know when they talk about addicted to Jesus? I know what they mean. It's a good addiction. Don't look for a cure. You don't need a cure. May you not have a cure in Jesus' name. Amen. May it be that once you are off this world for a few days, you're uncomfortable. You won't be able to sleep. You just tell people, pray for me. You thank God for internet. You quickly go to one website, download one hot message, jack it like 3 times. Then you feel cool. Then you fall asleep. May sleep depart from your eyes until the word of God has entered your eyes. Amen. It's for your own good. This kind, you know, is that a blessing? I've just blessed you now. Yes, a blessing. It's for your own good. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Let me read this, then I'll tie everything together, then we'll close it there. Deuteronomy chapter 8. No, let's not, because of time, I won't bother reading it. But you know where it is. Oh, no, let's read. I just realized something. It'll be good to read it. You know, Christianity is this thing that we are discussing this evening. Christianity is not a religion. It's not which church you go to, which church you don't go to. Christianity is this thing I'm discussing. That the word becomes flesh and dwells in your life. Look at what he said in Deuteronomy chapter 18. This is the importance of it. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'll read from verse 1, I'm going to verse 3. All the commandments that I'm commanding you today, you shall be careful to do. that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. And you shall remember the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years. Why did he do that? That he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He said, and he humbled you and let you be hungry. Please follow me here now. He allowed you to be hungry, and then he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Listen to this. Man does not live by bread what?
Alone.
Now I want to read this from the Amplified. That's, you know, the Lord Jesus quoted this for the devil. When the Lord encountered the devil in the wilderness, Satan said to him, turn these stones to what? To bread. I don't want to digress again. Remember what that means? It means that it's not every opportunity you convert to an advantage. Be careful how you use the power that God has given you. All right? That's just what it means. Now, but the Lord answered him like this. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. Amplified answered and said it this way. I want to really read it. He said, man shall not live and be upheld and sustained by bread alone. That word upheld and sustained is what I'm bringing out from there. Please, follow me carefully. When you read this, he says, man shall not live by bread alone. This is the way we used to interpret it. That is, you will live by bread and then you will add milk to it. What I mean is this. You get my point? That is, there are other things. So we live by bread and we add the word of God. But that's not what he said. He's saying that Jesus was hungry. Take food and then you will get energy back. You will be sustained. You will be, you know, rejuvenated. And the Lord said, no. It is not only bread that does that. The word of God does that also. So even though I don't have bread, if I have the word of God, my flesh will be sustained. My flesh will be rejuvenated. My flesh will acquire strength. Listen, this is Christianity. Tell your neighbor, this is Christianity. Listen, what was he saying to them? That bread is only one way by which we get things done. And bread is important, very important, especially for those who don't have the word. What is bread? That's what I need to explain. What is bread? Bread is the physical thing that men use to sustain themselves. What do I mean? Man shall not live by bread alone. You've heard it. When you want to start a business, you need capital. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Man does not do business by capital alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God does a business succeed. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? You know, I believe, as an example, they said, look, if you want to marry as a woman, you know, you should make yourself attractive at least. Is it good? Is it not good? I mean, a woman should look nice. It is the will of God. Praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
But that is bread. Tell your neighbor, that is bread. If you want to go to the embassy and get a visa, you will put a lot of money in your account. So they will see that you're a successful person, you're not trying to run. It's good if you have the money. Tell your neighbor, that is bread. Tell your neighbor, that is bread. Man does not live by bread alone. That is, you can show up in that same place with a zero. In fact, say, bank, say, I have never opened an account. This is my first time of hearing about accounts. I'm sorry. And they will still give you a visa. It's called the operation of the word of God. You've heard it said, you want a big government job in this country, you must know people. You want to enter, maybe UNTH is employing, you must know people. You must know people. Tell your neighbor, that is bread.
That is bread.
I need to emphasize something to this, how Satan deceives people. Listen, this is how deceives people. He will tell you stories of people that lived by bread. And tell them next time they tell the story, don't be impressed. You know? Tell them simply, that is normal. Do I look normal to you? I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. That is, if I tell you that, listen, you need to know somebody. Look, that's how Lagbaja came the other day. And he didn't know anybody. But Temedu followed him right behind. And Temedu knew everybody. And look at him now. He has gotten the job. Tell them that is normal. Before, I used to argue. I tried to bring up points to show that it doesn't always work like that. Listen, that argument is unnecessary. It is supposed to work like that. They are supposed to live by what? Bread. But the time comes that man does not have physical bread. Yet he lives. Why? Listen to me. Why? Because before the journey started, an angel showed up. He said, oh boy, arise, eat. Not the physical bread as men know, but the bread of angels, the one that you can run in the strength of it for 40 days. That was what Elijah was fed. It was a type of the word of God. So if somebody has eaten that one before, listen to me. If you started your life out with the bread from heaven, every obstacle you get to in life, speak to that obstacle. The bread I'm operating by, you don't know about it. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. The problem is that people want to not live by bread alone and yet not have every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, and they claim they are walking by faith. Do you get my point? Yes, it is not that man does not live by bread alone, period. No. But by every word, that is, if he has the bread of heaven, physical bread becomes unnecessary. You see why I told you it's for your own good. This issue of feeding, both at the beginning and sabbatically, periodically, you understand my point? And then also, continually, it's for your own good. This part of town is very dangerous. You know, armed robbers, you know, live like this kind of area, except you have this kind of security. Tell your neighbor, that is bread. You will live in places. It's afterwards they tell you that, look, there used to be armed robbers in those places. They didn't disturb you. He said, no, I did not know about it. He said, but you're strong, oh. He says, my nature. Please, I hope you're following the point I'm going to make. Listen, when he said, man does not live by bread alone, what was he saying? Things that natural people use to get results, Christians often don't need it. If they have it, fine. If they don't have it, no problem. You know what God was saying to Israel? If you read it in context, what is bread? If you need food, that's bread now I'm describing, you need a fertile land. Are you getting my point? Yeah, you need a fertile land. You need time to till, to plant. You need rain to fall. And you have an abundant harvest, and then you will eat and you'll be satisfied. They did not have good land. They were in the wilderness. Rain was not falling. They didn't have time. Yet they had food regularly. That was the point. You know what God was telling them? You have learned this. Now I'm going to return you back to walking apparently normally, but never forget that lesson. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Yeah, I pray you understand it. Listen, listen to this. I pray for you that while you are yet broke, you discover the all-sufficiency of God. You know the reason? I've been telling you and warning you, one day in life you'll be rich. Let me say it to you again. One day in life you'll be rich. Amen. I mean you'll be very, very rich. Amen. Very, 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 very rich. But listen to me, we know what God is saying to you ahead of time. Don't get to that point and start thinking that man lives by bread alone. That the reason why I've made you rich is not so that you can eat. I've already taught you that man does not live by bread alone. That is why at that time you will know the reason. Go and read my book, So We Pay for This. You will understand why God made you rich. Because one of the things God gives people in life, first of all, he first gives you satisfaction. If you cannot rejoice and be taking cool breeze and smiling while you are at the back of a keke napep, you won't be rich as a Christian. You know why? Because if you enter into a Mercedes Benz, you will think man lives by bread alone. So what God first does for you, he will make a woman love you while you are yet riding a keke napep. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. Some people say, look, buy a car, then the sisters will take you serious. No, I've heard things like that. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Tell the person, say, in Jesus' name, any woman that will take me serious because I have a car is of the devil. I will not marry her. They can say, now fight. Say, now fight. Now fight. Tell them like that. Tell them like that. Say, now fight. Now whoa. Tell them, say, now fight. Now fight. I'm angry. Who said that? Who said that? Where the person? Say with vexation in your soul. No, I'm going to say. One of the things God is doing for you, you must understand it. He wants you to understand that the things I will give you in life is not because of bread. That's why I tell you, listen, better learn how to rejoice. Learn how to rejoice. When you get to a place where people gather, all of them are expensively dressed and you have only a cheap shirt. Enter the place, proud. Oh boy, now don't come. Feel happy, be proud. When they say who wants to talk, talk. Don't be intimidated. Don't be intimidated. Rejoice when somebody else makes progress. Listen, if God does not give you that now, you're in trouble. Because if you because you have to break the law of God to be able to get anywhere if you don't learn that lesson. You will have thought that man lives by bread alone. What God does is that, listen, right now, wisdom will be in your mouth. You won't have anything physically, but men will respect and tremble at your presence. Ah, listen, God helped me with something that does this. Although, you know, I told you before, my wife thought that I can't remember ever cowering before anybody. I raised my shoulder. In fact, I had a personal problem, self, which I had to now solve later spiritually. I thought I had the right, I had a duty to be arrogant. I thought it was a duty. Now, I'm looking at you here. Long ago, I learned that I needed nothing exteriorly to give me confidence in life. So if tomorrow I fly a private jet to a meeting to go and speak, don't think I'm speaking because of the jet I came in. There were times I came on motorbikes, I spoke more confidently. And I'm not joking. I'm not joking about it. Because I learned, man does not gather confidence by bread alone, but by every word that has filled his soul. When he opens his mouth, men must respect. That is why I tell, look, whatever situation you are in life right now, you must rejoice. You must realize. You know, some people, they are so, their mentality is, he's talking to me like that because I don't have money. The man does not even know you don't have money. Your I don't have money is your own personal problem. And those are the kind of people that when God blesses them small, they think they can talk loud. And they'll be talking loud and you'll be hearing emptiness. Emptiness because he's speaking out of the idea, now I'm rich, so he's talking nonsense. No wisdom. Why? He's speaking because of what he has, thinking that man lives by bread alone. Listen, that's our own as believers. This is real Christianity. What did I call it? What did I call it? Real Christianity. That, listen, bread is those physical things that people say you must have because you can achieve before you can achieve results in life. But we have discovered that every word entering into our hearts and coming out of there can produce anything. Are you getting my point? And that is why when we want to start in life, and listen. And anything we get in life must not be by bread. Even though you see bread there physically. That's why God told children of Israel, I have showed you now that I'm with you. I am blessing you even when the land doesn't have anything. He said, therefore, thou shalt remember, it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. Because the people are going to go into a land where they will start operating what appears outwardly like normal. That's why I told them, you must obey this law of first fruits. If I bless you, you will take a piece of it. You will come back and make a speech. God was not interested in the material things as much as he was interested in the speech they will make. My father was a wanderer. He was like this. And then God brought us through this the terrible wilderness and brought us to this land. You had to make that speech so that you will remember all the time that it is not this fertile land that's given me this thing. It is every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Moses, which God spoke to him. That's why we are blessed today. As long as we are obeying that covenant, that blessing will never end. No matter how small we appear, big nations around will never overtake us. I hope you got my point.